I was praying and I was studying the other day. Just Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, is a reflection back on the time that when Jesus was walking on this earth. I believe those Gospels are there to help us to understand that he first went unto his own, the Jewish people. He was Jewish by birth. Jewish mother. But when you read the Gospels, this is what really stood out to me, and I've been reading the scripture for a lot of years, was the fact is that people receive the needs that they had in their lives through faith. God healed their bodies through their faith. They hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name yet or received the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God honors faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, those of you that are born of water and spirit, part of the New Testament church, it calls at the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his spirit, it brought forth the birth of the New Testament church. There was an Old Testament, which people had an old testimony about God, how real he was in their lives. And then you have this New Testament in a new era that God was moving through men and women. Whether you were in the old or you was in the new, God honored faith. Don't ever forget that. You think you're someone special. Anybody, the worst kind of heathen as you can think of, if it have faith in God, God will move upon that person. God will move upon that person. So when you think that God's not hearing your prayer, maybe you're not having faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I'm just telling you this. Don't be surprised what God will do in our midst or in our city of Warsaw with people who have faith in God. What he will lead them into, the marvelous, awesome truth of the apostolic doctrine. Amen? You see, the Jewish people had faith in God, except they didn't recognize the fact that God came down, robed himself in flesh, and walked among them. But when somebody came to him, knowing that he had this ability to heal or do the miraculous, they had faith in the ability. What some of you are sitting here this morning, you need to have faith in the ability of God. Amen? Have faith in the ability of God. Now, the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. If under the law, under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it gives us the ability of what to understand that it was under the law that these people received their healing and people received ways made where there seemed to be no way, then you being a child of God through birth of the water and spirit, knowing that God will do it for you also. Yes. Our problem is not with the problem. Our problem is with faith. But you're not shouting on that. You must be on that sound too long. Last year, somebody said that. Come on. So I'm getting looks and twists of heads and all kinds of stuff. You people alive? You got the Holy Ghost? Huh? Then don't stare at me like that. I'm telling you some truth here. You can shout in a song, but you can't shout in a word. The word is what's going to do you more good than a song. You got to have faith in the word. The word was made flesh. You got to have faith in the word. The faith that was made flesh was Jesus Christ. What seems impossible with man is never impossible with God. We just sang the song, when I don't feel him, I know he's still working. Right. That's faith, that you know that he's still working. Yeah. He's still moving. Yeah. Go build a building. Yeah. Go to see souls saved. Yeah. Go to see bodies healed. Yeah. Go to see problems solved. Yeah. Go to see lives changed. Yeah. Go to see miracles. Yeah. Go to see some signs. Yeah. Go to see some wonders. Do something over in that corner. You're just there to stare at me. Just wave your hand and do something. Okay, there you go. And I've only had one cup of coffee this morning. Listen, folks, you're in the realm of nothing is impossible realm. Now, we're going to read some scripture this morning. Because I don't want you to think I don't have no scriptural base. I want you to know I have scriptural base. Yeah. We'll look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. It's a lengthy reading. I want you to walk out of this place this morning. Not that you've been in the church, but you have been in the presence of God. And in his presence, there's nothing impossible. Nothing. Say it with me. Nothing. 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 You can't have Jesus always coming over you and solving your problems. Sometimes you got to get up and go to Jesus. Come on. You can't sit there and say he doesn't do anything. We're just sitting there not doing anything yourself. If you're blind Bartimaeus and you know Jesus is coming, hey, Jesus, thou son of David, woo, over here, can't see you, but I've got faith in what I've heard about, your ability to heal people. Amen? Come on, church. A seat is comfortable, but God looks at the faith in the action. 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 Pastor, I need $100. Well, come and get it. I'm not going to carry it to you. You have to come and get it. Amen. People come by the church quite often and say, I need gas money. I need electric bill paid. I need rent paid. I have to give them some credit because they got up and was looking for it. Yes. Whether I give it to them or not, they're out there looking for it. Amen? Amen. Same way with healing. Same way with prayers answered. You have to go get it. Amen? Yes. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, I want to read this lengthy reading, and I've got Brother Terry to read this. If you've got a Bible or electronic item, you need to open up. I'll tell you, the book of Romans is a fantastic book. Amen. There's so many good things, positive things, hopeful things, that he was writing to the church in Rome. Paul was writing to them to encourage them. He gave them some instruction along the way, but he was writing to encourage them. Let me tell you what. Every day of your life, you need to walk in encouragement. I don't care how dark may be the night, how problem you may have, you need to walk every day with encouragement that my God is working. 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 He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working. He's... Amen? Let's start Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. Would you read, Brother Terry?
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh,
You don't have to be a person that feels just bad all the time. No condemnation. Come on.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Stop. I'm exhorting verse 1. Look at verse 1. Who walked not after the flesh, but after the what? In your Bible, is it a capital S or a small S? That means God's Spirit. If it was a small S, it would be your spirit. A lot of people are following their own spirit. Here's the secret. Who walk not after the flesh. In other words, your carnal mind will tell you opposite things of God. The flesh will convince you it can't be done. Flesh will tell you God won't do it. But if you walk after the Spirit, if you walk after the Spirit, Spirit of God, something's going to happen. Come on. If you walk, and the fact is that God forgive me my sins and my transgressions, if you ask Him to forgive you, He will forgive you. Amen? There's no condemnation to them which walk after the Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. Flesh will always condemn you. People who are in the flesh will always condemn you. You may have repented of your sins, asked God to forgive you. Doesn't mean that flesh will forgive you. But in the final end, flesh is not going to be the judger. Come on. This is why then more people are concerned about what other people think about them than what God thinks about them. There are a lot of people that turn away from God because people make fun of them for living for God. Because they're more concerned about what people think about them than what God thinks about them. Who died on the cross of Calvary for their sins, and who will judge them at the end of the world? So it's better for us to walk after the Spirit. Now, read verse 2 again, would you please?
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
There is a law of the Spirit of life. Where are you going to find that? You're going to find it in Christ Jesus.
Right.
No place else. A law of life is only found in Jesus Christ. He's come to give you life, and that life more abundantly. And we're living below the level by which God has come to bring us life. There's a law to that. If you seek Him, you will be found of Him. If you love Him, He will show up. If you ask Him, He will do it. All right? Notice, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me
free.
Everybody say free.
Free.
Say free.
Free.
What are you free from? Guilt? You're free from sin? Free from apprehension? Free from fear? Come on. Whatever it is, free. Who bound you? The devil bound you. Who set you free? He set me free. Oh, He set me free. You sing that song. Come on. He broke the bonds of prison for me. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. Verse 3. Would you read verse 3?
For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Read on.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
You've got to walk after the Spirit, not your own flesh. Come on. When you're apostolic, there's something about that. You walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Come on. Verse 5.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Why aren't we more spiritual? Because we're more fleshly minded than we are spiritually minded. We get more concerned about the world than we do about the kingdom of God. Come on. I like Sister Stephanie's testimony before she sang. Why wouldn't God answer her prayer? She expects God to answer her prayer. She expects to get money for the children that needs help in this county. We shout. Why do we shout over the smallest victory when there are larger victories to be had? Come on. We get excited. Oh, we got one person baptized this morning. Haven't had any more since about 6 months or a year, but we got that one person baptized this year. What about 300 be baptized this year? What about the victory, the larger victory, the larger number? How about 500? How about 3,000 in one day? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is why sometimes we can't get through the victory, because we mind the things of the flesh. See, Pastor, what are you teaching this for? It's a Bible study. Yes, it is. Because the Lord may come today. Lord may come tonight. Lord may come tomorrow. If you're minding the things of the flesh more than the things of the Spirit, you may not make it in the rapture of the church. It is a responsibility that we have to fight against the flesh and let the Spirit of the Lord begin to rule and reign in our lives. Amen? Amen. Who makes you mad? Flesh. Come on, here's some amens on that one. What makes you happy is the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. You can be broke as can be and not have any money and don't know where you're going to get any money, and you reach your pocket and find a $10 bill and your spirit changes. Right. Somebody can walk up to you and hand you a $100 bill and your spirit changes. I want to tell you, you can go from flesh, you can go to spirit just like that. But that kind of spirit is your own spirit. You're feeling good in yourself. When you know that God's done it, when nobody else could have done it, you know that God did that, and we give God the praise and the glory, the hallelujahs, and the thank you for that. Come on, church. If you don't want to respond to God, you've got to ask yourself, am I in the flesh or am I in the Spirit? When you come to an afterlife church, no one should have to pump you up to make you worship. When you come to an apostolic Pentecostal church, you know they're worshiping a bunch of people. Yes. Yeah. And let me tell you, you don't need music to worship.
That's right.
I said you don't need music to worship. Amen. If you got a love of God in your heart, love for the Word of God, you love the presence of the Lord, you can worship Him when you have no music, whatever, and you can magnify the Lord and love Him no matter what, why? Because you're in the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit. Come on, church. I love music. I love Brother Randy's playing. I love the singing. I love all that stuff. But he's not with me on Monday or Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I got to wait till next Sunday to see him to pump me up. You can wake up Monday morning praising, worshiping God, and the anointed presence of God comes on, and you can walk the rest of the day in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen? Come on. Verse number 6. Let's look at that.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life.
If you want peace, come on, you got to get spiritually minded. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He what? Cares for your soul. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, would you read that?
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can we.
You're wrestling with God? You will wrestle with God. You will fight against God. You will not surrender to Him as long as you're carnally minded. What does that mean? That means that you cannot perceive the things that God can do. Things that you cannot see, touch, or smell, or hear. God is not interested in letting you touch, see, or hear what's behind the scene. But when He moves upon a situation, amen? He moves upon it, and He does it. That's faith in God, that God can do what I cannot taste, see, hear, or smell. Amen?
Yeah.
Walking in the Spirit. Let's read the next verse.
So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Bingo. Come on. If you walk in the flesh, mind the things of the flesh, you cannot please God.
Amen.
Yeah. I think it hit a nerve. Ah. I'm feeling resistance. Now, if I was to preach something this morning, shout you into glory, it'd be the greatest service you've ever seen. Let me tell you something. That's worked up. You walk it and live it every day. That's living in the Spirit of God. What happens when you're walking in the Spirit of God? You become sensitive to God. You become sensitive to other people's problems. You become sensitive to those that need healing in their body. You become sensitive to the cares of life that's got some people so strangled they can't hardly raise their head up. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, that's a powerful verse. It is a powerful verse. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Read verse number 9. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church. Yeah. You're not in the flesh, but read on.
If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness.
When you look at verse number 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. He's talking to the church. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you haven't spoken tongues in for a while, you need to get to a place in your life of worship where the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and you know it's dwelling there. It's the evidence of the Spirit of God moving and living in your life. Get behind the barn, have a prayer meeting. Get in the car, drive down the road, worshiping, praising God, turn some music on, get an atmosphere going in. This world wants to give you an atmosphere of doubt and fear, and nothing can happen good, nothing's going right in my life, nothing is working out for me. I'll tell you, that is the world, the spirit of the carnality of this world. But when you get in the Spirit of God, all of a sudden things begin to happen in your spirit. Faith begins to abound. Life begins to come alive. You begin to see things differently. You look through eyes totally different than what you were looking for just a few moments ago. Come on, church. I didn't write these words. The Apostle Paul wrote these words. He knew what he was talking about. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So why do you Pentecostals always talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because that becomes the essential thing of life. You cannot have life or new life without the Spirit of God. You can feel God all you want around you. You need to have Him inside of you. Come on, inside of you. Living inside of you. Life is tough. Life is hard. Temptations are flying from every direction. This is why you need to have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the Spirit of God in you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling, I didn't write this word. I'm just saying what Paul said. Then you're none of Christ. Christ. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You can't get out of the grave unless the Spirit of God that dwelt in you raises you up out of that grave. Is that your words, Pastor? No, that's the written word. That's the Word of God. What's so wrong with being filled with the Holy Ghost? What's so wrong about life in the Spirit? Huh? Come on, folks. Life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Come on. The power is not just behind this pulpit. You get behind the pulpit, you get all excited, blah, 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 blah. You got to live it every day of your life. You got to be excited every day of your life. Come on. Every day we're confronted with a message of death, destruction, and lack. Every day of your life, you wake up to that. We live in a chaotic world filled with voices who invade us with unbelieving and disheartening words, and they rattle on and they on through the television, radio, newspapers, and even our closest friends and family are spewing negative things into our lives. Everywhere we turn, we are given the opportunity to be affected by the world's message. This becomes a broken record, church. A broken record that needs to be flipped over on the other side and listen to a new song. What kind of song, Pastor? A song of deliverance. A song that will free us from the chains of circumstances and empower us to live victoriously no matter what the situation that we're going through in our lives. As a song that will free us from the chains, circumstances. A new song in your spirit becomes something that will empower you to live victoriously no matter what the situation. However, listen to this, the choice still remains ours. We will sing along the same old tune, pray about the same old problem, mope around the same old burdens on our back. It isn't hard. The words are in the Bible itself. And all you got to look is look at the words. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. If you love to complain and grumble and life is not fair, let me tell you what, death is in your spirit. But if you say, my God, who I have not seen or touched, but I believed his word, and the word of faith becomes my life. You can ask anything in his name, and his Father will do it. Come on, faith. Faith, faith. It don't take a whole lot. It just, you got to use just what you've got. A little bit or a whole lot. In the Gospel of Luke, we're introduced to Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. Desperate. Jairus was desperate and filled with anxiety over his only daughter nearing death. He joined the multitude waiting to receive a miracle from Jesus. Like so many of us, we're waiting in line to get our miracle. Waiting in line. When's it going to happen for me? Waiting for Jesus, who was just returning from the country of the Gadarenes. In Luke chapter 8, verse 40 through 42, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come unto his house. Like a lot of us, we want Jesus to come to our house. We want things different, changed. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay at dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. You ever notice when you want something so bad from God, it seems like somebody else gets it first? Before you get yours, before you get your miracle, get your prayer answered. And when we read this, we see Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. And by the time the rulers and high officials in the temple were strongly opposed to Jesus and his teaching, so much that was planned to try to kill Jesus, you can imagine how Jairus must have felt as he fell to his knees and begged for a favor from Jesus. All his colleagues wanted to kill Jesus. When everybody else wants to kill him, wants to take him out of the schools, wonder why you got death and shootings in schools, because they've ripped Jesus out. But the only hope you've got is to fall down at the feet of Jesus. Come on, nation. Come on, world. Come on, community. You can't complain how bad the world is, because the world and the spirit of the world is causing that. People say it's mental illness. Can I tell you that Jesus can heal mental illness? Can I tell you that Jesus can take murder out of the hearts of people? Here's Jairus on his knees, begging for favor from Jesus, the very man his peers were trying to kill. You need to forget about what the world is thinking, what your neighbors are thinking, what your co-workers are thinking, so forth. You need to have faith in the only one that can heal your situation, or heal your problem, or solve the situation, the needs you have in your life. Scripture goes on and says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living, her savings basically upon physicians, neither could be healed by any, came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her issue of blood was healed up. Jairus, he's maybe still on his knees begging for Jesus to heal his daughter. Here comes along somebody else that gets a blessing before you get your blessing. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and saith thee, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Suddenly, somebody touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith," everybody say faith.
Faith.
"Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now maybe Jesus allowed this to happen because maybe Jairus is still on his knees. Remember the scripture? She came up behind Jesus, touched him his garment. Who's in front of Jesus? It's Jairus. He's on his knees. Sometimes you want God to do something for you, but you're really not sold on Jesus. But he's the only answer, supposedly, that can solve your problem or meet your need. A lot of people come to church because they have no other means, no other, perhaps, way to get a problem solved. I've had people come to church and God didn't answer their problem, didn't save their marriage, and so they left the church because they didn't get what they needed. Here's Jairus on his knees. Maybe he was desperate to ask Jesus, but really didn't believe Jesus. But here comes a woman from behind, touches his garment. He tells her, "Thy faith has made thee whole." Maybe Jairus needed to see a miracle firsthand. You become a church for a long time and you say, "Well, God's not done anything for me." Maybe you need to see something what God can do to build your faith, because God answers faith. I said, God answers faith. He doesn't answer it as a spectator. He doesn't come because you know you don't have faith, and if he gives you something, you're not going to stay with him. You're going to say, "Thanks a lot," and be gone. I've seen people come in church through the years, and Jesus didn't answer their problem, didn't answer their need. They didn't need him anymore.
Yeah, right.
They left. Jesus is looking for people who walk in faith. Who walk in faith. Come on, church. He's not looking for pretenders. He's not wanting pretenders. Woman from behind touches him. "Thy faith has made thee whole." Jairus is still on his knees in front of Jesus. It was an awesome miracle. But it wasn't helping Jairus a thing. Jairus wasn't getting his prayer answered. I can almost hear Jairus saying, my kid's dying right now. This woman had her problem for 12 years. Can't you take care of hers later? Let's go. My daughter's dying right now. She's had her problem for 12 years. The difference was, one was begging for something that he almost believed in. The one who received it before he did had faith by touching the hem of his garment, and virtue flowed from him. When the messenger came, Jairus' heart sank. Jesus, immediately upon hearing the bad report that the messenger was going to bring Jairus, there's some things when you hear the news of, you can't be affected by it. You've seen too much. You've heard too much. You know too much. I believe Jairus began to grasp something that he didn't really have before. He had a need so desperate. The only person he knew, possibly he heard about, that could do the things he needed done was Jesus. But maybe he didn't fully believe in Jesus. Jesus was simply a means to an end. You see, God cannot be simply a means to an end in your life as far as getting your answered problem, your problem answered. Jesus told Jairus not to fear, but only to believe. I want to tell somebody this morning, you're going through a difficult situation, more than one of you. God wants to tell you, only believe. Church is not a Sunday morning, hour and a half, 2 hour program that you get up and you go back and you face and you worry and you stew over the things you've been going through or the problem you're facing in your life. Don't let Jesus be an ends to a means without fully having faith in him. He says to Jairus, only believe that his daughter would be made whole. You see, fear is faith working in reverse. When you've got fear, you're believing it won't happen, or it can happen, or it won't do. It's just the reverse of that. Jesus goes to the house. Mourning crowd. Some laughing at him for claiming that the girl was simply sleeping. Everybody knew that Jairus' daughter was dead. She'd probably been dead for a while before Jesus was even able to get there. Yet again, Jesus was not affected by the message of the girl's death. Or was he affected by the fear that Jairus had in his heart? He refused to be affected by what the world was doing and saying all around him. And the scripture says, and he put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should not tell anyone what was done. Oh, I'm telling you, come on. He won't do a thing when you've got fear and doubt in your life and your spirit. You cannot walk in the flesh and expect the things of the Spirit. You cannot look empty seats in the church and say, well, we'll never grow. You cannot look at your situation because God doesn't look at your situation. He doesn't look at empty seats. He looks at a dying city. And then looks at a group of people who's got faith that the moving of the Spirit of God, because no man can come to God except by the Spirit of God. Come on, church. I see a church full. I see the power of God. I see the miracles, signs, and the wonders. As if it already has happened. As if it's already there. Power of God is so awesome. Let me tell you this. Don't allow the world to affect your spirit. Don't allow the world to affect your spirit. I almost said the third time. Don't allow the world to affect your spirit. Paul said, who beguiled you? What affected your life that you want to change directions in your life? King James translation uses the word beguiled you. Who beguiled you? Can I tell you what? Revival is not in a man. It's not in a named evangelist. Revival is here. Right here. I can bring the top. I can bring Lee Stone King. I mean, old Lee Stone King. I know Lee Stone King well. I can bring Lee Stone King here and fill this building up many times over. Because you come to see what Lee Stone King can do. And I love Lee Stone King. He's got a testimony of himself about miracles. God raising him back from the dead. Powerful. But real revival, to see signs, miracles, and wonders, is the faith that I have right in here. Come on, somebody. Come on, church. There's something about life in the Spirit. Not after the flesh, not walking after the flesh. Because when you walk into things of the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. You see the problems, the toils, the impossibilities. You cannot grasp the things that God is capable of doing. Well, I just go to church on a Sunday. Maybe God saw my problems. No. It's not you just showing up to church. It's the faith that you've got in God. Amen. That He will show up to church. Yes. That when we're walking in the Spirit of God, the atmosphere changes. The presence of the anointing of God is so strong and so sweet. And it's like a river running and through the rocks, the bubbling of the water and the sound. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. That song moved me once again. Maybe we as a church need to be moved once again. But you can't sense or feel it in the flesh. You gotta sense and feel it in the Spirit. He's come to bring you life and that more abundantly. If you had more money abundantly than you ever had before in your life, you had a smile on your face. I'm happy because I'm rich. I'm happy because my bills are paid off. I'm happy. I don't have to worry. I'm happy. Oh, it's just God. It's church. But when you wake up in the morning, you take that first breath. It's life. People who's had cancer, who's had major disease in their body, and they've been given a death sentence. I know what I'm talking about. You see, you've been given a death sentence. Sin brings forth death. And you've been given a death sentence. Except Jesus, God in the flesh, loved you so much, loved the world so much, loved his creation so much, that he paid the price, that death payment would be made on the sin of humanity. And you've been given life. When you, in the physical sense, have a disease that the doctor said you've gone a matter of time to live, and whatever miraculous thing happens and you don't die, and the disease is gone from your body, or the disease has stopped its progress, and you live for another 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever, from the day that you realize that you have got a new lease on life, the clouds look awesome.
Yes. That's right.
The green trees, it's just incredible. It's so green. It's just, everything has a different perspective on it. And when he reached down and saved your soul, when he reached down and brought you out of the dirty, marry clay of life, he deserves more than just a thanks. And when he put his spirit down inside of your soul, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. We have our being in Christ Jesus. And I walk in the Spirit. Alive. Vibrant. Do you have sickness in your body? Yeah. Do you have affliction in your flesh? Yeah. But I see God a different direction. When he brings you through a trial or a test or a problem, on the other side of it, it is awesome. It's an awesome thing. While one is kneeling in front of Jesus begging, one who had faith came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment, because she said, if I touch his garment, I can be healed. Who touched me? Can I ask that question this morning? Who touched Jesus this morning? Did you touch him this morning? Or did you just come and join church? Or did you touch him this morning? Does the virtue flow from him to you this morning? Do you feel the virtue of the anointing of the presence of God? Would you just lift your hands right now? Would you do that? Let's lift your hand there. Oh, I wish I could preach this message. When you've been forgiven of sins and trespasses, and it's given you life in the Spirit, it's a different life. I preached a message on the radio this morning. The magic is not in the faucet. If you've lived in a country where there's been no running water and you're brought to the city and someone turns on the tap and water flows out of the tap, you're amazed and shocked. Wow. Well, how did that faucet, how did that water flow from that faucet? The magic is not in the faucet. It's what's behind the faucet. It's the pipes. It's the unseen. And sometimes we think that we're the faucet and we can turn it on and turn it off and we're the magic. No. Unless you've got the power of God behind you. Come on. And if you've got the power of God behind you, flowing. Jesus said this in the flesh. It's not me that's doing this, but my Father that is in me. He's the magic behind the faucet. He's the magic behind your life. How can you go through that? How can you bear up? Because I have got life. And I've got faith. All things, and I close with this, all things are possible to them that believe. He told Jairus, believe. In other words, faith. Faith. Would you lift your hands one more time? Bow your head. Let's pray. God, I wish I could have done a better job preaching and ministering this word this morning. But I trust your spirit. I have faith in your spirit. That people renew in you, Lord, the life that you've given to them. And have life in the Spirit. Have life in their spirit every day. In this congregation, in this church that's a light in this city. Let your life flow in a church, in the body. When it's on the job, when it's out working, when it's out playing, when it's just out in life. And let faith abound. Through faith, God, I believe, God, you can bring the hungry hearts and hungry souls. Through faith in supplying the needs, we can see a building built. Walk in faith. Let this church walk in faith, God. Let's stand together, shall we? I just don't want to be somebody kneeling before Jesus trying to get something out of him. I want to be a person that comes to Jesus knowing that he has the answer, knowing that he can do it. Whether he heals me or he doesn't heal me, he is still God. Whether he solves my family problem, I know that Jesus is still God. God manifest in the flesh. Whether he does anything for me or not, I will not leave him nor forsake him, because I know that he is real. And whether I can feel him or not, I know he's working. I know he's working. I know he's working. I know he's working. I still believe in this old book. Any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Let him anoint you with oil to pray over you. In the name of the Lord. Anybody still believe in this old word, this old book? Come on. Well, I know God can heal you right where you're standing, but maybe a little walk of faith. If you got a need in your body this morning, I want you to come, and these will pray for you. Amen.